Welcome to the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. I'm joined by industry experts and up-and-coming creatives as we unpack the skills, stories, and side hustles behind the entertainment and creative industries. So if you are ready to thrive and not just survive in showbiz and the arts and culture sector, you're in the right place. Today, I am joined by casting associate Bailey Francis. We're going to talk about her career transitioning from dance to the other side of the table and all things the business of show business. Bailey, how's it going?
Rather warm today.
Similar to when I had a guest earlier when I was saying I'm actually kind of disguising a catch up during this podcast because we've not seen each other in so long.
I know. We've been meaning to plan it for ages. So this is a free therapy session and also a catch up.
It is.
So thanks for both.
So me and Bailey both used to be freelance dancers gigging together. Yeah. And now after a 12-year successful career as a dancer model, you swapped to the other side. What was that light bulb moment for you? Because obviously casting is something that maybe not everyone, they know it exists, but it's maybe not a natural transition perhaps.
It was more of a sort of a combination of luck, but also pure determination to find something that I was invested in and interested in and passionate about equally as dancing. I actually wanted to get into like production within like marketing and commercials. So I went to a few big open days for some of the big commercial agencies. And within that same time, a few friends were getting married and life was moving on quite a lot for me. And I actually, it was all purely circumstantial. I met a friend on one of the hen parties and casting I knew of within, because I'd worked for a couple of companies doing event management and hostessing and catwalk type mod fashion casting, but I'd never really thought about it. I knew in terms of production and TV, but in terms of actually casting, I'd never really delved into it. And I spent a whole long weekend with this wonderful girl who's actually did my maternity cover recently, so we're still very good friends. And she was like, have you ever thought about casting? She was like, because casting is a very maternal role, something I've learnt now, but I probably wouldn't have looked into earlier. But yeah, she was like, I think your personality and I think you just really suit casting. Cause she's a producer and was a little bit older than me. And so I went sort of away and really took that to heart and looked into it. And just with a lot of grit and possibly balls I shouldn't have had, I just went out to a load of casting directors and like, hi, this is me. I'd really like to get into casting, not even really knowing enough about it, very naively. And I wish I still had that guts now. But I think it's something you have. Yeah, it's something I had, like that young guts that I didn't have now. I don't have so much now.
And also though, like as a coming from a performance background, when you are constantly putting yourself out there, submitting your CV, headshot, and we are used to always starting again and rejection, it probably, you just took that with you. That's almost kind of in your back pocket, wasn't it? Almost like that transferable skill of being like, right, I'm used to like meeting people, trying to make a good first impression.
Absolutely. I think being a performer, whether it be dancer, actor, musician, whichever, I think you have to know who you are, but also just have so much resilience. I've always been such a people person. Yeah. I've always worked from the age of 15. I was working, and I think it's something, it's a skill that I think I've had to take through to casting, and it's probably the number one thing that just having the, yeah, I think knowing that it's okay to email people and not, I possibly something I wouldn't do now, but yeah, when I was younger, I just was like, I don't know who they are, and just had the guts to email. And I think, yeah, as a performer and as a dancer, you're so used to grafting and hustling. Yeah. Constantly.
So what does a casting associate do? So obviously when we watch a lot of TV shows and films, you'll look at the credits, it will say like casting director, casting associate, but what is a casting associate's kind of role within a wider casting world?
So there's various types of casting associates. Some people are hired as an associate just for one job by a casting director. I am Shakira's long-term casting associate, and I am therefore basically there to support her in her casting. It's coming up with ideas lists, it's doing avail checks, it's I guess the difference between an assistant and an associate is that you have the responsibility and the freedom to make your own choices, and those choices are trusted. Like Shakira and I are so much in each other's brains that she trusts me with my instinct, and I obviously trust her. She's a legend. But we're sort of synced in that way.
So obviously you've been at Shakira Dowling's office for what, 6 years, 7 years now?
8 years.
8 years, gosh, yeah, so a long time. So I guess you know the nuances of how someone works and vice versa. When you first started out there in casting, like, what was your very first step or the ladder? What the first rung on the ladder in the world of casting?
So, yeah, that's, again, it was such a sort of, it was a slow process. I was wanting to come out of dancing and, or not even wanting to come out of dancing. I just knew I wanted to find the next thing before it was too late, possibly, and was ready to move on. And I was fitting at the time, which fortunately was giving me quite a lot of money, and I could afford to take a day off here and there. So I actually offered my services as intern.
Oh yeah, like being an intern, yeah.
Being an intern. And I actually did that with a few casting directors. I was, again, like I said earlier, I was very ballsy and emailed people I definitely shouldn't have emailed. Some of them met me and were like, yeah, you've got no experience, like, come back when you know how to put a breakdown out on Spotlight. But we had a coffee and now I see them and it's like, oh hey. So it's it was never a waste of time. But I think so a couple of people did take me under their wing very early, and just I think they were like, who is this girl, who does she think she is, but let's see. And I think again, going back to just being around people, I was definitely not afraid of just talking to anyone, and I think that kind of definitely went in my favor in early days. But yeah, so I actually interned with a couple of different casting directors, predominantly Shakira, and one day I was running a commercial casting with her, and she just literally shouted down the corridor, she was like, send me your invoice. And I just did this little leap of joy, and then I've worked for her on and off ever since.
And so what, obviously that was that moment of leap of joy, what was maybe something you really loved about dancing that you missed, but what is something you love about casting now? So we're kind of looking at both sides of your career.
Connection and people, and every job at the end of the day as dancers sounds really cheesy, but we were there to tell a story and as to be as an art form. Not all of my jobs did that. Certainly some that I did with you, maybe not, but yeah. I think at the end of the day, what I wanted to do is create art, and I think what I saw in casting is that I could do that in a very different way, but also in a very interactive and sociable way, which is ironic because then COVID hit, which changed the industry entirely. Yeah.
So what are some of the transferable skills then? Because I think as dancers, actors, singers, we sometimes don't value whether it's the soft skills like empathy, time management, or it's those skills in the fact of you pick up and retain quickly, the fact that you can multitask, whatever it is. Like, what are maybe some of those transferable skills from a dance world kind of bled over to casting, if there is any?
I think I'm going to use this word because I learned it quite recently, multifaceted. Love that word. And actually, since I've learned it, I love to sort of think about it, because I think whether you're a dancer, again, like actor, even in the normal world, I think a lot of people I've met in casting, a lot of lawyers or bankers, and they do acting on the side. So I think everyone has got layers. And I think in terms of transferable skills specifically, I think being able to have a load of tabs open at the same time. So our brains as casting directors are literally sponges. My computer has got like 30 tabs open. We might be working on 7 projects at one time, sometimes more, and I'll get an email from one producer and have to link that to that project, and then within I'll have actors, agents, phone calls, emails, and every single one of them will be from a different project, and I'll have to just know, oh, that person's from that. And it's, I think, I don't know if that's necessarily a dancer's skill, but I think when you're a dancer, you have to be a PA, you have to self-brand, you have to hold down another job most of the time, you have to have some sort of balance in your life and go, you know, work out. And I think constantly having a running tab of everything to do, mm-hmm. I think, especially in casting, is essential.
So with casting, there are different worlds. There is TV and film, which you predominantly sit in, but you were saying there's like fashion casting, there's casting for commercials, and then there's sub layers of like street casting where you find someone on the street. Can you maybe give us a little peek behind the curtain into the different types or the different worlds of casting?
So I can't really peek behind, like, I always think it's absolutely fascinating and probably something that I'd love to sort of delve into at some point, but fashion casting is like a whole other world. You know, you're working with magazines, with models, with the big fashion runways. TV and like, so our office, we do street casting. We don't specialize in it, but we do it a lot. That's such a different ball game to TV and film because you're reaching out to real people. And a lot of the time, some of the subjects you're dealing with can be really sensitive. So that's a very different, when we're working on a street casting job, it can be quite heavy, really hard. And then you've got commercial castings, which most of the time are really funny. Some of the self-tapes we're asking people to do are just like people pretending they're putting up an umbrella in a room with no, like really random things. And they can be quite fun, quite trivial sometimes. And then TV and film, again, it's such, again, so the process for TV is different to film. And I cast all of the short films for the company. So I also have that side of stuff as well, which is very similar to film, but obviously on a much smaller quantity. Yeah.
And then obviously you mentioned earlier on, you have to do like availability checks, spotlights. What are some of maybe the day-to-days? Just because if there's someone watching or listening who thinks, oh, I've done a teeny bit of casting, or I'd want to get into casting more, what are maybe some of those day-to-day? So is it you start off every morning just doing an inbox check? Is it you have to then, like, what does the other side of spotlight look like? We don't know.
First of all, spotlight is the best thing ever. It's any casting director's best friend. It's not the only platform we use, but it's very heavily relied on. Every day is different, and that's one of the things I think really drew me into casting, because one of the things I really missed from dancing was just being in a different place every day, meeting people. A lot of the time, I'm really fortunate now, I do work from home because I have a little family. Again, the whole industry's changed quite rapidly since COVID. So I'm actually really grateful for that because it does mean I can work from home and a lot of the things we can do is online. However, for the most casting directors, I think they're running around town every day. Sometimes we're in, I come into London twice a week, possibly. Especially in the summer, there's often nice events, there's premieres, we often have in-person castings. So yeah, every day is different, but on a general day, yes, there's always clearing the inboxes. We put out fires regularly, as I was talking to you about earlier. Yeah. We're constantly problem solving, and there is never a dull day. You think something's going smoothly, and then woohoo, you get a phone call, and you've got to recast someone by tomorrow.
Or gosh,
worse.
And as you were saying, it's that maternal role. I think what I've just from talking before this and now, it's like problem solving, but doing it with a smile sounds like it's a huge part of it. Again, skills we get as a dancer or actor when you're reblocking understudies, having to always. You've not been given the sides before an audition, but you've just got to like fake it till you make it, as they say. There's a lot of problem solving with that, which obviously comes with its ups and downs. But obviously, you've got two lovely little ones. You do workshops as well as casting. Like, how do you balance it all? Is that still?
I don't. I'm constantly overwhelmed. But no, I am very lucky. Joe's as equally into this career as I am. Yeah.
That's your husband.
That's my husband. Yeah. Hi, Joe. he cooks. He is a very, yeah, so I'm without being, I think anyone who is a mum and works in the way that in this capacity in this industry, I think having someone that looks out for you. So yeah, Joe literally makes my world tick, and I don't set boundaries. I need to get better at setting boundaries. So every sort of, since I've been casting myself, I'm like, right, how can I do this differently, because I see the burnout across the industry from other casting directors and mums. So yeah, setting boundaries or trying to set boundaries, it's not always possible. We're getting WhatsApps at 6:30 a.m. 10 o'clock at night. It doesn't stop. You can't switch off from this job. Once you're on a project from the beginning to the end, there's no switch off, and you are the person that is sort of in between the producer and the director, I suppose. Not theoretically, but there isn't much of a switch off, but it is incredibly rewarding. By the end of a job, there is no other better feeling. When you find, especially child casting, when you find that child for the role and they've just had no experience, or when you have done like 3 rounds of casting and you finally see the self-tape and you're like, oh my God, I found them. And then you send it on and they agree and you're like, oh my God, like, we've done this.
Yeah, it's like career changing, world changing for a lot of people.
It really is. And that's, I think, it's just such an amazing feeling. And I just wish I could bottle it up and feel it every day, because some days you're like, when is that feeling going to happen again? Because sometimes I've been working on a project for 3 years, for example.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yeah, and it's actually coming right towards the end of it now, but it's amazing, but also has a lot of challenges.
Because I guess when you are casting, you initially, very early on, because you're finding talent, but potentially as there's script rewrites, availability discrepancies, you're potentially casting new characters. So it doesn't necessarily end once production start.
No, so that's the thing as well. Like from when a production starts, you think, oh, okay, I've got 5 roles to cast, or I've got 36 roles to cast, whatever that may be. It's always more than that, and it's always double the admin. However, there are so many, the relationships you build with the producers and the directors, and the journey you go through is incredible. Yeah. And when you sit in that screening at the end, like, there's such a warmth and a feeling that you can't get.
Has there been a particular project that you have cast or in the process of casting that really stays with you for one moment? It could be the acceptance call, or it could be how it was received, but is there particularly a project or two that has really kind of stood out for you?
Yeah, so there's one film that I actually haven't seen yet. It's a short film, and the script has just, oh, it's so deep in my heart. I can't wait to see it. There's different aspects of it, again, because sort of, you're going back to an associate's job. Sometimes I'm reading scripts. Most of the time I'm reading scripts. And you think you don't remember them, but a part of it will always stay with you. And so sometimes it's the writing that stays with you. Sometimes it's the actor. Sometimes it's just the relationship that you've built through that project. There's so many different things.
One thing you hear people say in the industry, especially for acting and commercials, is that, like, it's the same casting directors that always bring in the same people. But is that because it's like, it's a trust thing? You like what they deliver, you trust them. So if there's a particular agent or actor, do you bring them in, not necessarily more than others, but is it because they may be more in the forefront of your mind, or you know what they can offer, or you trust that agency?
Yeah, both of those things. So actors, I love meeting actors, and I try and do it as much as I can, where I can go to workshops, go and see showcases. It really is so lovely meeting actors, especially from underrepresented areas and backgrounds. And I think there is probably a bit of a myth where we'd bring in the same people. There are occasions where an actor will just be in my mind, and I'll obviously, if they did a good job, or it's not even if they got the job, if they did an audition but didn't get the job, I remember them. So I will always go to the auditions, always do the self-tapes, because you never know. Like, we do really remember a really good tape or a really good audition. But more so for me, agents. If I've worked with a good agent, if they're reliable, like, for example, I'm casting a short film at the moment, and I'm on the second round of casting, and I didn't go out to the agents that I would normally, because the director specifically wanted to use some recommended agencies, and they just didn't deliver. So I've lost time, I've not got anything to produce, and I didn't go with my instinct. So it's a tricky one, because I can't be like, well, it's your fault. Agents, building trust, meeting agents. I think we work together so much, I don't meet them enough, but for the agents that I do have a relationship with, they are essential. If I've got a last minute casting and I'm like, I need someone for tomorrow, I'll just phone them up, be like, help me out. And I know that they'll deliver. Yeah.
And I think that's a really exposing nugget of information for actors, singers, dancers to hear, because sometimes you put so much weight on getting an agent, and there's so much to it. Like, is it an agent you have a good relationship with? Is it an agent who's got good connections? But I think you could have an agent that doesn't necessarily guarantee you getting in the room, because that agent might not have a relationship with that casting director. Like, you still have to look at the industry maybe on a wider lens now and what you can keep doing. But I think it's quite nice for people to hear, like, you can't just get an agent and wait sometimes. Like, yes, obviously you want an agent you have a good relationship with, but it is still what I'm like, can I go to casting workshops? Like, because you've probably met people in workshops that aren't on your traditional list of agents, and you thought, actually, let me, like...
Or self-represented.
Oh, yes, that's a whole other thing. So where do you typically find talent? So we've mentioned Spotlight. Do you use IMDb? Do you use social media? Do you just walk down the streets of London? Like, how do you find talent?
Funnily you say that. I actually stopped someone on Sunday in Cambridge. I had a... Joe took the kids for an hour, and I went and did some last-minute birthday bits, and... I saw this girl and I was like, I literally went up to her, I was like, she was so striking. I said to her, are you on a modelling agency or are you an actor? And she was like, no. And I literally took her name and number because I thought, if there's any ever a street casting, she was just so incredible. But anyway, that doesn't happen. I'm not normally.
But it can happen
in Cambridge.
In Cambridge and in London. Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen very often. Especially in London, you assume that everyone's kind of covered because there's so many street casters that are out there kind of scouting for people. But when I saw this girl in Cambridge, I was like, so yes. In terms of finding people, there are lots of avenues and it does depend on the job. At the moment, I'm actually reaching out to charities. So that in a way, I guess, is street casting.
Because that's for like maybe lived experiences.
Yeah, we need narratives. So when we cast, like, I will not cast someone pretending to be something they're not. If it's a disability, so I don't know how much I can say, but I'm actually casting a refugee, and I won't cast an actor to play that. It's a really, 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 really tricky, casting. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever done. But we're just determined to not pretend to do that. And there's a whole array of ways to, so are predominantly Spotlight. A lot of the times I will, again, those agents that I have trust, I'll look at their client lists. Social media, yes, again, depending on the job. A lot of street casting jobs will start off through Instagram and TikTok. It's amazing what you can sort of search for on that and narrow things down that way.
So will you use like keywords to find what you need, whether it's like an actor who horse rides or a lived experience? Will you use certain keywords to try and find them on social media?
Yes, so social media, yes, but also if you have, in terms of Spotlight, also any key skills you ever have, definitely put them on your Spotlight, because I will search for that. You said about IMDb, I will, depending on the profile of the person, I love IMDb, prefer it to Spotlight. I think it's such a great platform. Again, it's another thing you have to pay for.
But I do think as a resource, as someone who's used it, it's so good because you can find out what's in production, who's got an agent, who's their PR. Like, there's so much you can find on IMDb Pro specifically.
Yeah, IMDb Pro is probably my number one tab that's constantly open on my screen. Just love it. And I get lost in it for hours searching for people. And so in terms of creating lists, I love IMDb for that. I also just try and just watch. I'll be watching like a random TV show, and I've actually got Joe doing that as well, because he's a geek. He's into his sci-fi stuff, and I make him watch all of Bone and
Shadow and Bone, things like that.
The
Witcher,
Star Trek, you name it. I will not watch it, but I'll get him to write lists for me of people to look out for, and he loves that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, once you're in casting, you can't not see it.
Yeah.
You do look for it everywhere.
I can imagine, like, because I'm similar in the fact I just love knowing, like, who's done what. So I'll be on IMDb for ages, and my partner's always like, get out the IMDb hole. But because I love it, though, but I guess
you can really get sucked into it.
And I guess that's maybe a sign. I'm not saying I need to go into casting, but what I mean is someone's thinking, should they get in casting? Like, if you're constantly consuming and you know who's who, is that almost maybe a good sign to be like, oh, actually, let's try casting or being an agent? Because I guess having that Rolodex of contacts is probably, like, invaluable.
Disclaimer, I didn't. Yeah. I should have done. I probably should have probably known more at the time. But you can definitely learn. But I think definitely having an interest in that.
Yeah.
There's I think if you've got an interest in matching people up to stories and unraveling potential in people that you wouldn't necessarily, I think the most, you were going back to where I find people, I love, the most exciting thing is when you find someone who's not on any of those platforms.
Oh, okay.
That's the most exciting thing, because you know you've given them a step up. But yeah, so going back to your other question, I think looking, if you've got an interest in watching TV, film, then see, like, I think a really fun exercise is to sort of like do a, you know, like people do fantasy football.
Yeah.
Do a fantasy casting and see how, see whether you, whether that kind of gave you a bit of a buzz.
Oh, that's a really good shout though, actually. I think, yeah, if you pick maybe a project that already exists, a film, think, right, who would I cast in those roles? Oh, I like that. I might just do that anyway.
It's good fun.
So then casting, obviously you wear many hats. There's lots of skills that you have to pull upon, or maybe no, you didn't have. How would you then maybe express that to someone who wants to get into casting? How could they maybe articulate that in their CV or cover letter? What, if someone wants to break into casting, what, how could they maybe package their skills to be like, yes, that is signs of a casting person?
So my tip, and this is again something I had to do, I think as a dancer, it's really hard breaking into another industry.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, I didn't have, I had some good GCSEs, but I didn't have a degree behind me because I did a diploma. I didn't necessarily, I was trying to go, so my initial route was going into production. They were all like, well, where's your admin skills? Of course I had those admin skills. I sold myself for 12 years straight, but it's not on a CV. And I don't think anyone in the sort of corporate world sees through that. So for me, the way I got into casting was through recommendation. And I think you just need to get out there, network, meet people, meet producers, meet actors who can recommend casting directors, or like, just there's so many events in London that are especially there's film festivals. That's a really, really good place to start. Film festivals, work out who's who in the industry. First of all, work out if you actually want to get into casting, because there are so many other jobs that are really cool and a lot less hours. Casting wise, yeah, go meet people in person. That's how you're going to get in. I don't think writing in, I honestly, we get assistant subs constantly, and like, we won't there's no point. We just, the first thing we do when we need an assistant is pick up the phone and say to another friend of a casting director, and feel like, have you got anyone you can recommend?
Right.
So yeah, it's well and good selling a CV, but I just think get out there and use your skills as a dancer, which is selling ourselves and probably being nice people, I think, hopefully, and just get the job that way.
And now on the flip side, you probably get hundreds of emails a day, period. But probably a huge amount of that is maybe from actors to be in your films. Roughly how many emails do you get a day? And what makes an email stand out to you from a potential actor wanting to be in one of your films?
How many emails we get in a day depends, but sometimes it's hundreds. On average, into my personal inbox, yeah, it's between 50 and 100 a day. When we have a project on our street cast project in particular, possibly our casting at email is mental, where we have to like hire two assistants to go through it and just file it. So what stands out, I drill this in at my workshops, don't ever write a long email. We just don't have time to read it.
Okay.
You might have really interesting stuff to say, but we just don't have the time. I'd love to sit and read everyone's life story, but I just can't. So I think a really short intro, whatever your USP is, and I'm sure you've spoken about this before, find out what your USP is. And I want to know what it is in the first sentence. I am an actor from here, this, you know, I am of this or this ethnicity, or just, even if it's like, hi, please look at my signature. I'll click on your spotlight and then I know exactly where to put you. Because we might not respond to every email, but we will file it. So when we're looking for people, we will go through our emails. So yeah, I think don't, all I need is a really solid signature. No large attachments. The thumbnail headshot is spot on. And yeah, a really brief little hi, and a link to your Spotlight, or if you haven't got Spotlight, a link to some, like, if sometimes even your Instagram, like, right, just if you've got work on your Instagram, like, let me see where I can put you so that we can. Yeah.
So basically they need to make it as easy as possible for you to see their USP, so their unique selling point, their brand, who they are, within the first one paragraph or 30 seconds.
Two paragraphs max. Anything longer than that, I will just... No.
And then hyperlinks, if there's anything in that hyperlink in that, like...
Yeah, hyperlinks are great. If especially if you've got work that you've worked on recently, or a link to... If I've got time, if it's a short film or like a trailer or anything like that, if I've got time, I'll watch it. Or if you've got a little coffee break or whatever, then yes, I will always try and... At the end of the day, I fill my time with consuming stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't always have time. So the biggest thing is having a link to something I can visually see you straight away.
So if someone was a fresh grad or wanting to break more into TV and film from other areas of the sector, what are maybe their must-haves in their marketing portfolio? So ideally Spotlight, if not some form of one-stop shop, Instagram or website that has everything. What else should they maybe have in their marketing arsenal to send to you or have ready? Should they have a showreel? How many photos is the sweet spot? Any info
on
that?
Don't send me more than two photos, please. Two photos. Otherwise it gets awkward. I'm like scrolling through some weird like... two photos, if one even, like, I don't even need it. I don't want a photo in the email. I just want either in the signature,
okay,
or a link. The photo's just... It's there, but I'd rather just look at it all together on whatever. So a lot of, again, it's more time and money, but a lot of actors who, even if they have Spotlight, have like a really basic like landing page website type, yep, thing, that works because you've got links to everything there. Spotlights on showreel are really helpful. If you haven't got one, fine, but sometimes it's essential because we might send a list of Spotlight pages, and if you haven't got a showreel on it, chances are they're just not going to take the risk. Sure. Because we won't send 50-60 options. We will only send 15. Right. Like, we're not that casting company that asks people to do things and they're not actually going to be considered, so we will send a really small amount. But what else can you put on if you've got a show? Well, I think in terms of if you haven't got much of a CV, it's showing, there's an about me section
on Spotlight.
Yeah. And having a little something about, I'm a new mum, I've been out of the industry for a year, just, you know, or I've just finished training at blah blah, this is, yeah, my first year graduating. Any sort of information that can give us an idea of why you've got a gap.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what it is. You might have, it could even be like I'm grieving a family member. Like, we're the only people who will really take that in. So, yeah. It really is helpful. That's actually I think the number one thing. I'll always look down. I'll headshot, then CV section, and then I'm like, oh, why is there? And then I'll go to the notes, and if it's got a little explanation, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Brilliant. And it also just kind of gives you a little bit of a flavor of the person.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you haven't got Spotlight, a little link to a landing page or whatever profile it is you're on, and if not, social media. If you've got work, if it's you posing on holiday, not so much. But if, yeah, you're really dedicated to like putting work on your Instagram, then we love to see it.
How long should a show will be for you? Like, what's the sweet spot?
1:30. Yeah. But we won't watch, we'll watch 30 seconds of it. We'll skip through.
So like, would it help save someone's, because I always drill home, some people say, I've got like a 3-minute show reel. I'm like, they basically need to see how you move, talk. That's basically it. So is it worth time stamping a show reel if it is longer for whatever reason, saying this at 1 minute, this at 45 seconds, or you just think for you 90 seconds is the sweetest spot?
I think if it's going to be really awkward to finish it too short, then leave it. But as casting directors, we will skip. We'll watch the beginning, we'll skip to a bit in the middle, and then we'll watch the end. If I'm completely engrossed from the beginning, occasionally I'll watch the whole thing. I wouldn't focus on it too much, but I just wouldn't go stupid. Like, anything over 2 minutes would just be, yeah, silly and not get watched. So you might as well condense it down.
Well, as you said, if you've got 50 submissions that day, you can't possibly watch 50 3-minute pieces and do the rest of your work. So you are trying to get to who that person is, crack open that nut, aren't you, as soon as possible.
And also that's where your agent will do a really good job, because if we might not even get to the point where we look at showreels, an agent can put something in the notes saying this is what they've done, this is what they've known for, or this is the type of person, especially with children, like this is their character, they'd be great for this. It just gives it that little extra, and we do read them. I'm more likely to look at the notes than someone that's got anything. And it's a lot of work for the agents, but when you've got a good agent, they will put a little something in there.
So you've got a BFI funded project coming up. Is it too early to speak about that? Are we allowed to talk about it? Or is it this all hush hush secret?
I can't really talk about it too much, but I have been working on that. So I did the pilot for that back in 2022 whilst I was on maternity.
Gosh.
And
so the pilot, and now it's being picked up now.
So now it was greenlit about 2 months ago. It's now shooting in October, November this year. So we're in the final crunch of casting. And that's, so I'm actually, because of my dance background, I'm actually casting the movement roles along with the intimacy coordinator for that. So I'm in total, I'm casting 52 roles.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah, so it's gonna be really nice. I'm gonna be in the studio doing the movement audition with them. So yeah, going back to that, I guess there is always going to be projects that are niche. And I think just being a performer, we're very used to sort of putting ourselves wherever we need to be. I think we're born people pleasers.
Yes, we are.
Something I'm trying to work on continuously. But yeah, I think we just mold into whatever we needed to do. And chameleons. I'm like, yes, of course, I'll do that. Yeah. And it's going to be great. But yeah, it's very exciting.
This has been a lovely look behind what happens in a casting office. Because again, I think that's one thing that people don't fully know what it is. And now casting is getting more recognized for awards. But still, again, I work with a lot of people and they're like, I want to be in this show. And I'm like, well, do you know who cast it? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you need to do your research. Look at what agents they're using. Look at the headshots of those people in the agents and so on. So it's been great. So I'm going to end with our little lightning round. We're calling it Lights, Questions, Action. And they're quick fire. And you can just answer whatever comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. It's a long casting day. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Auditions with props. Yay or nay?
Not auditions, but occasionally self-tapes. It's okay. There's a fine line.
What's the weirdest prop you've seen?
Like a full-blown Scottish hat with a ginger hair commitment. Accessory. I was like, okay.
Well, commitment to that. Name an actor you'd cast in everything you see.
Taron Egerton.
Yes.
Love
very talented.
Him.
Yep.
And female wise, Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, classic. If you were to put back on your dancing shoes, what show or TV or theatre wise would it be for?
This is easy. I trained solely to be in We Will Rock You.
Perfect. But biggest casting red flag in an audition room, like what should someone not do?
Apologize. I'm stealing this from my boss. She's always says this, don't ever apologize. We all have lives. You know, things happen. The fact that you're in the room, we already really appreciate that. Don't apologize for being late. Don't apologize for not having something. Don't apologize for not being prepared. Just do the best you can do in that moment.
Love
because
that.
Apologizing already sort of
put you on the back foot. So that was a red flag. Biggest green flag in an audition room?
Just, I think, making a really good first impression, being authentic and not creating a barrier between us and them.
Most unusual audition you ever had to do as a dancer or actress or model?
I had to be legs of a table once and walk across the room with my head in a table.
Nice. Okay. Yes. Most dancery thing you still do now in the casting room. So do you take any of your dancer habits as you're sat behind? Is it tapping the foot, bobbing the head, any dancery traits?
I actually can't make a cup of tea or a coffee without twizzling around a kitchen. I tap my feet constantly. I do that thing when I'm watching a show or an audition where I'll nod along with people. I'm like rearing them on and Shakira's like, why are you? I'm so in it.
Yeah.
Or I'm one of those people that's got, is it HSP? Oh. Where I'm so hypersensitive personality. Oh. And I'm so in tuned.
To that them, when you're it, like
so
egging them on.
Yeah, like, so like, I think that was one of the, going back to one of your other questions, like, I can't not.
You want the best for them.
Yeah, to get there. I get so invested.
Who would you cast to play you in a movie?
You're putting me on the spot with actors here. Who
be anyone, dead or alive?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, lovely. And my last question, we've obviously been on a podcast. Are you someone who loves to leave podcast length voice notes, or do you prefer a text?
It depends on my day. I'm partial to a very long voice note, ask Chelsea. Yeah. generally WhatsApp.
Okay. Well, that's all I need from you. You're an absolute superstar. Thank you so much for having me. All I have to say is make sure you subscribe and leave any comments where you watch or listen to podcasts, and stay tuned for the next episode.